this is our 50th episode. And we're
50.
We have a list here of everybody that we've interviewed so far, and when I look at our first 25 and then our second 25,
yeah,
it feels like the second 25 have flown by.
Yeah, well,
when we hit 25, it felt like we gritted and dug our way to this, you know, right. And it just feels like now, it just feels like, oh, we're at 50.
I think we had more of a vision going into the second half of that 50, yeah, because we knew exactly what we were trying to get out of the podcast with that second half, and now it's part of our work regiment,
right.
Whereas before it was, hey, can we get it in a podcast real quick? Now we're actively looking to seek out people just within our own relationship building. And now it's like, yeah, we need to be talking to the Dr. Tate, the
right.
superintendent of Davenport Schools. That's just a relationship we should have.
Right.
So let's do a podcast and find out more about him. And that was absolute gold. I mean, that podcast, if nobody's listened to it, was fantastic.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and he was just someone that was interesting. What's been great, I think, so far is that everyone that we've talked with, we get so into the conversation because they're just so interesting as a person.
Right.
And sometimes we even forget what we're supposed to be talking about.
Right.
You know, and I think that that's just been really fun. So, who have been some of your... I know when we say, like, trying to choose a favorite guest, it's like trying to choose one of your children.
I know.
Which, out of Owen's kids, it's definitely Ellie.
You mean Ian's kids, it's definitely Ellie.
Out of Ian's kids, it's definitely...
Freudian slip, Andy really likes Owen.
I do like Owen. Owen's fun.
I know, I hate... You're right. It's awkward to say this, because I really enjoy everyone.
I don't really have a favorite episode. But some of the experiences that I definitely remember, and one of the times where I think that we continued talking about it afterwards was the Quad City Paranormal Society.
Yeah.
And what was great was that Halloween was coming up, and I called in one night and I just said, I want to interview a ghost hunter for Halloween. And the fact that we got this group to come was amazing to begin with.
Yeah.
And then they were awesome.
They were really good.
And
we weren't sure how that was going to go.
Right. We were really nervous going and we didn't know how that was going
to
go.
It turned out really, really well. There's a lot of names that come to mind.
The other day I had a guy ask me for he wanted a bunch of podcasts on a flash drive.
Yeah.
And one of them, and he was from out of council, and I gave him Rusty Boros.
That's one of them that sticks out to me, just because Rusty, he's like our age, and he's the CEO of this nonprofit that's doing a lot of good things. And I think we respect Rusty a lot, I think,
right.
And that's really where that came from. And I think that that conversation, that podcast was really good.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of good stuff going on there. Some of the important ones, you know, Ken King, that was a big one, because how many people got to sit down with one of the creators of
right.
this new Cub Scout program and get some information straight from the horse's mouth?
Right.
That was a neat one to have, and the timing of that was really, really good. Some other entertaining ones.
Well, one of my best friends in the world is Mitch Leonard.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah.
And I enjoy listening to his just because him and I have such a good flow, just a normal conversation.
Right.
That it's just like a friendly conversation between the two of us. And I actually, he aired that podcast on his Mitch Talks.
Yeah.
His failed venture known as Mitch Talks.
Didn't even try anymore.
This is my thought on Mitch Talks and its utter failure. When he first started, it was during election season, and an ad would appear at the beginning of every Mitch Talks, and it always seemed to be a Joni Ernst ad. And I think that when Joni Ernst, now that that's done, there's nobody to fund it. There's nobody to fund Mitch Talks.
He was being backed by Joni Ernst.
He was being backed by Joni Ernst. But sometimes the Joni Ernst ads were the best part of Mitch Talks. And I don't even like Joni Ernst, so I mean, that's like a...
I'll tell you, when looking back, I'm really looking forward to talking to Paul again.
Yeah.
Because the first one we ever did, totally testing the water, and probably still my favorite one we've done. And it has nothing to do with, I mean, we love Paul. I just think it was, we were finding our way in the dark with this thing, and we pulled the mic out, hit record, and just start going. And we weren't absolutely prepared for it, right. You know, and I love that we weren't, because I've seen how we've interacted with our guests now, and it's definitely progressed.
Do you ever feel like we're prepared?
No.
I never feel like we're prepared.
No, but you know what? I think going in, and the people that we do have as guests, the information they provide about themselves and about the different things, their special interests and that, we kind of just go with that,
right.
You know, and these people all have a lot to say, and that's what the common thread is. Every single one of these guests have a lot to say because they're involved. They're making a difference. You know, these are all quality individuals out there in the QC doing good things. So,
well, one of the things is if we look at Pat Anger's podcast, mm-hmm. we could have never have talked about football in that entire podcast, and it would have been awesome.
So. I know.
So, well, 50 down, we're almost at a year, so our year episode's in about 3 weeks, and here's the 50 more.
All right.
So, well, the cool thing is the podcast you're about to hear is My Scoutmaster. We decided that we wanted to have a special guest for our 50th, and I thought there's really nobody else that we can interview, so we went up to Clinton. It was probably the coldest day of the year. Don is 83 mm-hmm. and doesn't get out of the house very much anymore. But not only has Don had a huge impact on my life, he's had a huge impact on my father's life.
Right.
And there's probably 20, 30 Eagle Scouts across our country now that can say that he's
yeah.
impacted them. And everybody else that he's come in contact with. So I really hope that you enjoy this following podcast, because I know it means a lot to me. So thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, thank you. So we're here today taking the pulse of Don Johnson. This is our 50th episode. Don, I met Don about 4 years ago mm-hmm. when I was up in Meskwaki as the district executive up there. And I had no idea there was such a legacy with Don, but I got to know him, and amazing story. Amazing story is the volunteer aspect of what Don has done in his volunteering with the Boy Scouts is just amazing. So much so that we even have an award, a legacy award, that we came up with
yeah.
in Meskwaki, and Andy actually helped me come up with that award
yeah.
and
yeah.
kind of shape that and the like, criteria and everything. And Don, thank you for allowing us to come here today and talk to you. How many years young are you?
83.
See, now, so Don was actually my scoutmaster, growing up through scouts. And actually, well, we'll come back to that. But for as long as I've known Don, so probably 1989, I think I started scouts. 1999 was when I my first year. So I've probably known you since about 1998.
Right, when you came into the troop.
Yeah, and so mm-hmm. As long as I've known Don, whenever anyone has said, "How old's Don Johnson?" I go, "He's 73."
It's always
he's
73.
So, but the thing, now looking back at it, in 1999, you would have been younger than 73. You know, and I just, well, how old's Don? He's 73. He's 73. And so for a good, like, 10 years of my life, and if someone today would have been like, how old is Don? He's 73.
So let's talk about that legacy a little bit, Don. How long have you been in the scouting world?
Well, I joined Cub Scouts in 1942. I was a Cub Scout till 44 when I became 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And I got the Arrow of Light and became a Boy Scout in Troop 2.
Here in Clinton?
Under Bob Holmes.
That was here in Clinton, right?
Oh, yeah. Franklin School.
Yeah.
Cool.
And Bob wasn't my first scoutmaster. My first scoutmaster was Doc Newton. He was a chemist for Clinton Corn. And Bob was in the Army, and he was away at war.
Yeah.
So, wow. And then in 45, when Bob came back, then he was the scoutmaster, right?
Very cool.
And I think probably everybody in the council, well, the older ones especially, remember Bob Holmes. I mean, he was a scoutmaster. He was a camp custodian mm-hmm. for... Not Eaton.
Mineata?
Mineata, right. Yeah, for quite a few years. And anyway, that's... then I was a scout for 4 years. And I've got out of it. Mm-hmm. Went back into it with my kids. My wife, Jan, was a den mother, and I helped her with her den. And when my oldest son became old enough to be a scout, they coerced me into being being an assistant scoutmaster of Troop 39. And that lasted for 1 year, and then the scoutmaster left. That left me as a scoutmaster at 39, and I was there, I think, I don't remember, 9 years, I think.
No kidding.
Well, now, you got the District Award of Merit back then.
Yeah.
In, like, this is probably the late
70s. Oh, yeah, that was 61. I think 61 is when I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into the Order of the Arrow back then, too.
Yeah.
Got Brotherhood back then, but never went any further. And I don't know. I was, oh Lord, I was in so many jobs then back then that I was, because our district back then was what Meskwaki is now.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And, well, you guys know how many packs we have now in troops. Back then we probably had 9 or 10 packs, and all of them were like 50 or more.
Big, yeah,
our troops big. Were probably the same, 8 or 9.
Right.
And they were all 50. 39, I think, in 1963 had 102 scouts in.
Holy cow.
That's probably how many Cub Scouts we have in Clinton right now among
that was just a troop.
Packs. Among, in Clinton, right?
That was our troop.
Wow.
And of course, there were like, probably 3 or 4 packs up in that north end that all
right
that came to our
so
troop.
So with trying to handle a troop that big, you had to have a lot of adult help.
No. I'd be at a troop meeting. I'd be the only adult there.
You're kidding me.
No.
You're kidding me.
But I always have believed in the patrol method.
Right.
And if they knew I was mad, you could walk into Elijah Beale Gym and hear a pin drop, and there'd be 80 or 85 kids standing.
Wow.
That's just, it's really unheard of to have that many kids at a troop meeting.
Yeah, back then you did. There was no too deep back then.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That was just, you know.
So you've truly seen the evolution of scouting.
Oh,
yeah. You've seen it from when you were in the program as a youth, and then as a volunteer. And you've seen how these different rules and regulations and everything has changed.
Sure. Right.
District has changed. I know when you were in, what was the Meskwaki, what was the council up here? Was it Clinton?
No, it would have been
Buffalo Bill.
That came after Meskwaki District, or Meskwaki Council.
Sure.
That was... Meskwaki District now is what the Meskwaki
Council was. That's what
I was a Boy Scout.
Gotcha. Okay. That's what I thought it was. I thought it was Council.
And Camp Eaton was our camp, and that was out west of Maquoketa.
Yeah. That's cool.
It belongs to the Jackson County Conservation Commission
right.
now.
Right. So you've also seen a lot of professionals come and go.
Oh, yes.
And their roles changed too. I mean, when you were just starting out as a scoutmaster,
Jack Thompson was my
name. See, and I figured he'd remember that name. But have you seen it change? I mean, you've seen a lot of good, you've seen a lot of bad, I'm sure. But there's always been that professional that's been there to help out as a resource.
Well, for 1 year we went without one.
No kidding, entire year.
Back when? Let's see, what year? I'm trying. Right after. I can't remember his name.
Well, this was more recently.
Yeah, the one that was when I came in.
Oh, was it Rob Beck?
Right.
Yeah.
Right after Rob left, We went for almost a year without a DE.
Wow. Rob's still
Well, we did fine.
Yeah.
We did fine.
Yeah. Well, you guys are probably well established then. You know what I mean? As far as you guys had a good structure
pretty much
in place.
So. Yeah, right, right.
And there's a lot of good scouting legacy here, especially in Clinton.
Yeah.
Especially in Clinton. So now you've had, we talked about the legacy. You've had your sons go through, grandsons go through.
I came in with my my great grandsons came in, but couldn't hang on to it. Just too many other things going on.
And that's another thing that I'm sure you've seen. Is
right now,
so many things pulling for their attention.
Back in when I was a scoutmaster in '39, they didn't play football till they got into high school.
Yeah.
The only team the junior high had was a basketball team.
Yeah.
And there may have been a little track, but not a whole lot.
Right.
And other than that, there were no extra football, baseball. The Little League was more or less just getting started then.
Yeah.
And the Little League just, if they had the time for it, they went for it. But it wasn't.
So Scouts was really a big priority.
Oh, it was. It was the. Oh, yeah. It's what just about all of them went into, you know. Or most of them.
Right.
So, now I started with the troop, probably, I think it was 1999, because that was the Grant Pilgrimage, the earliest Grant Pilgrimage patches I have are 1999. Now, Ed Green can tell you probably the day and the time and everything that happened. Now, because I was in fifth grade, and when I started in Troop 642 here in Clinton, Don Johnson wasn't my first scoutmaster. We had Don Lass. I had him for about maybe like a year and a half. Probably at least that first summer camp year. And Don Lass passed away probably last year. But so then Don became scoutmaster after that. But what's funny is we look at a lot of things that have happened since then, and people assume that Don was my scoutmaster for everything. So they'll be like, oh, it wasn't Don your Pine Tree scoutmaster. I'm like, no, that was John Jewell. Like, I had the last year of John Jewell. Like, I was at that age where... And then Don took over after that.
Right.
Though Don was my 2005 Jamboree Scoutmaster.
What I was... When you came in, I was the assistant Scoutmaster in charge of the new Scouts.
Yes. Yep.
And Andy's class, we got 18 of them that year.
Holy cow.
And I think out of that 18, I bet there's six of us.
17 of them went to scout camp the first year. We only lost one. And I think it's six or seven of those 18 became Eagles.
That's cool.
There's a handful of us that became Eagle Scouts. Then, so in 2001, I went to Jamboree, and I went in Don's troop, and he was the assistant scoutmaster. And then in 2005, he was a scoutmaster. And I remember you asked me to be the senior patrol leader, and I said no. I said I'll be your assistant senior patrol leader, but I don't want to be the senior patrol leader. And I don't know if
you
it was
ready
just,
for that. Or
no, I was 17. I easily could have done the role.
Sure.
And I don't know if I just didn't want to do that. You know what I mean? Because I always saw myself as like the first assistant person. You know what I mean? Where I would help out and do the work for I always saw myself in that role. But I didn't know if there was a thought of, like, I didn't want to just be like, oh, well, he only got that role because he's, like, Don Scout or something. But at the same time, and I wouldn't do it differently, you know what I mean? Because I really liked the role that I had. But I remember he had asked me, and I'm like, how cool is that I'm, you know, that I'm even being considered for this?
Right.
But then I was like, no, I mean, I'll do the assistant job.
And Matt Gall was our senior.
He was senior patrol.
That Alma Gall that writes for the Quad City Times.
Yeah.
Her son.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. So there's a lot of stories there. So I got my Eagle in 2004. So there's and then I stayed pretty involved with the troop after I got my Eagle.
You did.
I did a year of, I did at least 1 year where I helped all the new scouts go from being scouts to get their first class.
Sure.
So this is one of the stories I've been telling a lot lately is 2002 NOAC. we went out. There was an Indiana in Bloomington, and we drove out there. And there was three of us and Don's Lincoln,
mm-hmm.
and then there was another like an SUV that went out that probably had four or five guys in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that NOAC in 2002 was two carloads of us driving out there.
Oh, that was. I'll think of that.
So NOAC,
he's the one that took over. You know,
oh, Dave Iman.
Dave Iman. Right,
he went out
right,
there as well. So the
right.
two adults were Dave Iman and Don. There was probably eight scouts that went out there, and we took two vehicles. So going now, it's 2015, 100th anniversary of the Order of the Arrow. That's 13 years later. We have 73 people going out to NOAC from our lodge.
Wow.
And so in 2002, there was probably 10 of us total, maybe.
Wow.
And we were able to go in two cars, and now there's 73 people going. But what's a lot of my stories are, you know, really except for Philmont.
The one ahead of that, we all went in one van.
That was at Iowa State, right? Well, no, Tennessee. That was
yeah,
on Tennessee.
Right, right. We all went in one. We had a 8-passenger van, and we all went in that. And then when we went out to Iowa State, well, there were probably 5 or 6 of us that all went out
yeah.
there.
And a lot of my stories, not only was Don my scoutmaster in the troop, but Don was the scoutmaster either in the training or
right.
the trip that we went on. So I went to 2 Jamborees. I went to at least 2 NOACs with you. And though I think this is my 5th or 6th NOAC that I'm going to this year. But I think the first two, I think that you headed up. And then Pine Tree, you mm-hmm. were scoutmaster of Pine Tree, which used to be our junior leader training center.
So
and that was like 4-day.
The equivalent to that?
Yeah, yeah. It was a 4-day training course. And it was intense. Like, yeah. It was an intense experiment and their experience. And then we went back and did staff for a couple of years, you know, and afterwards. Huh. And but Don was always there. Like, Don was always the scoutmaster for those things.
Well, and knowing that you've been a part of all these different young men's lives, that's got to mean a little something to you. I mean,
oh,
you really,
yeah, definitely.
We talk about, you know, we keep bringing up that
on
thing.
Occasion, I even won, even from my old Troop 39. I see on will stop
no
by on occasion. I've had 3 or 4 of them stop at the house here.
Wow. So Andy asked a question to
strange part of it is I recognized all of
them. You remember who they were?
Yeah, I did.
Andy
asked
don't
know if I
to...
could now anymore. Really. My memories and going haywire.
But he asked a really good question to one of our guests not too long ago. And what is one of the, if you had to pick out one of the things that has meant the most to you in scouting, what would that be? Because you've got a really long resume.
Yeah.
What would be one of the things that really stick out to you?
The program itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what it will do for a young man.
Because mm-hmm. you've seen
basically.
It. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some of the kids that come in there were, you know, and they left.
Right. You know, and we talk,
you know, citizens,
right.
real citizens.
Right, and we talk about that in our ideal situation, that this is what it can offer to you as a parent, as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we can offer to you to your son. But you've seen it. You know what I mean? And
I wouldn't give you names, but I could name 5 or 6 that scouting made a world of difference
right.
in their lives.
Right.
Well, and that was one of the... Yeah, there was even when I was in scouts, there was a couple of kids that might have been, like, troublemakers or... You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it was even hard for us to, like, have them on a camp out or something. They were just... And I remember Don being like, they're the ones that need to be here.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that need to be here. And, you know, and Don would never give up on a kid. Because he's like, no, they need scouting probably more than you do.
Right.
You know that they need.
Yeah, I had a couple of bad ones went in the Air Force,
mm-hmm.
and I just you know what, just about all of what I you would call the troublemakers come. Just about all of them went in the military.
Did they?
Mm-hmm. Just about all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. One time, we had 4 Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
from 642 serving in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah.
At
yeah.
one time, all four, we had four of them.
That's my part of my scouting story. Is I remember I told my dad was my Weeblo leader, and when we crossed over into 642, I figured, you know, it was like a year. You know, you like it's, with Weeblos, or you do it by the year. You know, and you'd get your ranking going to the next year. And so I figured scouting was the same way. And I had said to my dad, I'll do this for the first year. Let's see what it's like. You know, but maybe I might try something different. And my second meeting was an Eagle ceremony. And it was Rob Neely. Rob Neely has since passed away. And I was like, I want that. Like, I want that. And so I stayed in it. Now, the senior patrol leader and the assistant senior patrol leader at the time when I first started, they were two of and Rob Neely, well, all three of them, there's one other guy, were four of the, they were all in Iraq at the wow. same, or either Iraq or Afghanistan all at the right. same, all at the same time. And so it was, you know, like, those were the leaders I had when I first came in. So all of them were Eagle Scouts.
Don, there's another story that I've heard about you, and there was a camp out, and I can't remember where the camp out was, but it was a place that they don't camp very much anymore. It was a farm. Kind of farm.
Yeah.
And you just drove your car right out into it. You guys all had to get out and push and stuff. And
oh yeah. That was that one up by Dubuque.
Yeah, there was Francis Farm.
Yeah, Francis Farm.
And it, you had to You had to cross two creeks to get back there. So you had to drive through water. Like, and we would always have Klondike Derby back there. So it's snow and stuff, and then Don just bouncing through. And so Don drove this old Blazer, right? It was brown. And, like, you'd get inside and, like, the ceiling would be, like, coming apart. So, like, you'd get out and you'd be wearing a hat or something and have, like, yellow on it from where you hit the ceiling.
Sounds like Viper's car. And
you could see, like, the springs coming out of the seat. And you could start the car without a key. And we called this thing the Deathmobile. And Don drove the Deathmobile back to this campsite. And he got stuck in one of these creeks, like, while we were walking back. And I remember all of us scouts had to, like, get up under it and, like, push this thing. And we're, like, sinking into the snow and the creek beds.
I remember you telling me this story and me trying to, you know, I'm visualizing it. But where else would you get that kind of story? You know what I mean? You were going on a camp out. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You're outdoors. You were having fun. And now you've got a story that everybody laughs at and, you know, remembers fondly. You know what I mean?
Was that the time when we built that, had that big tarp? And had the fire inside under that tarp year it was so cold.
Yeah.
It was so cold that they had one of the races was put water in a cup and run to a thing and run back. The first guy went real, real slow. When he got back, the top was frozen and everybody else ran.
This wasn't the Deathmobile, but he had another. He drove like a Lincoln. That was pretty much a Deathmobile. Your history of vehicles wasn't always the best. And
I have a Dodge. Called Cruella de Vil.
I remember we were driving down, and it's pouring down rain, and the windshield wiper keeps going, pouring down rain like you barely see, and the windshield wiper goes up and gets stuck on the side, and it's stuck like. It just went all the way out, and he just got stuck inside the car. And Don just kept opening the door, and it would push it. It would push it back. So we're driving, and Don doesn't slow down at all. And he's just like, opens the door. And each time, I'm sitting behind him, and each time I just get hit by like a wall of water. Like a wall of water that comes through. God, man, like all these... We could do a podcast just on like the Deathmobile itself. Like, man. So what are some of the things that you would remember from me being a scout?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
Because I was, of course, your favorite.
Oh, Ryan. Sure. Oh, I don't know. It's a, you know, things that happen with individual scouts, I don't really.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I really honestly don't remember things that happened with individual scouts. Mm-hmm. I remember some campouts, you know, what happened and some things, but for the most part, I don't know. I guess there's so much of it that I just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. The good stuff or the bad stuff, none of it. I could actually come up with some certain things, like, oh, if I thought real hard, I can kind of half remember the deal with the assistant senior patrol leader thing.
Oh, yeah.
That. And some conversations that I've had with young men along the way. But for the most part, they're all individuals. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I just...
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that I would have had the scouting career that I had if it wouldn't have been for Don either offering a ride or, you know, for me, like, most people, scouting is in the walls of their own troop. You know, like, they see the things happening in their troop, and that could have been scouting for me. But I wanted to be involved in the Order of the Arrow. I wanted to go to Jamboree. I wanted to go to NOAC, things like that. And Don would give me a ride. You know what I mean? Like, I could go down to scout camp on a Saturday because Don would be the ride down there. And I'm pretty sure my parents were awfully happy about that. But, you know, I would not have had that opportunity if I would not have had that avenue.
Right.
And I remember going to my first OA winter dinner with Don and Bob Brandenburg. And we drove down there and went to this dinner. And the only reason I was able to go, you know what I mean? Like, my parents would not have been able to go to that thing. And Don just gave me a ride, and so I was able to have the scouting career that I was able to have, and so really I think except for Philmont, which I went with a group out of Chicago, with my cousin, everything I did was with Don give me a ride.
I'd never been to Philmont.
Well, I remember you were one of the first volunteers that I met when I came in as a professional, and I remember the recharter process, which is to somebody that's new. They really have no idea. You know, you're just kind of trying to tread water. And I remember you sitting down with you and going through some of the different things. Yeah. I remember that because I had no clue. And I remember you helping me out with that and stopping by here quite a few times to ask questions and find out what's going on. Because at that time, I think you were Cub Master. You were Cub Master.
Yeah, I could have been. Yeah.
You were at that time
about
because 140, they needed one, and you
right.
stepped up and said, I'll do this.
That was,
and I know it was basically you and Ed, and that was pretty much it at the beginning. And then you guys grew from there and built it back up a little bit. But and now you're still your Weeblo's Den leader now.
Yeah, that's my final job.
My final job.
So you are retiring, well, in that capacity, right? Because you still want to be a committee member.
Oh, yeah, right. I do what I can, you know.
Right.
That's
right, right. Well, I know the wealth of knowledge that you have as far as the program. I mean, there's nothing that even equates.
Because now they're changing the whole program.
Yeah, what do you think about that? That's
okay, I don't know how many times it's been changed, though, since I...
Sure. Sure.
With Scoutmaster in
right.
60.
Right.
So, it's...
So, Don, if you could do it all over again, would you do it?
Oh, sure. Some things maybe a little differently, but other than that, not...
So now, are there things that you look back and think, like, I wish I could have... I would have been an Eagle Scout?
Oh, or... yeah. Yeah, well, see, back when I was a Scout, actually, advancement wasn't pushed.
Right.
Hardly at all. And I can't remember in Troop 2, which was one of the best troops in the city, I can't remember ever doing anything at a troop meeting for advancement.
No kidding.
Or on a camp out.
Right.
For that. That was specifically designed. If you were going to advance, you did it all on your own.
Sure. Yep.
Pretty much.
Makes sense, yeah.
And I got as far as life, and that was...
Sure.
As far as I get.
And the joke has always been that either Don was the first Eagle Scout, you know, like Don, or that, you know, W.D. Boyce was walking through a London fog, ran into a, you know, asked a boy for directions or something, and the scout helped him out. And when he wanted to pay him, the scout was like, "Oh, I'm a scout." You know, that's how scouting got. And the joke has always been that Don was that scout. Yeah. Don was a scout over in London helping out.
Not quite that.
Well, Don, we've got three questions for all of our guests.
Okay.
And our first question is, what is your favorite current TV show?
You know what? You're going to get it. The O'Reilly Factor.
You like that?
Really?
Yep.
I watch it every night.
No kidding.
Yes,
that's
I do.
That's your favorite. So how long have you been watching it? Because he's been on for a while. Ever
Probably
since he's...
10 years.
Yeah, he's been on for at least...
Been on for a while.
Yeah.
At least 10 years.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I like Bill O'Reilly's, like, presence. You know what I mean? I think that he conducts himself well on air. Now, I don't always agree with him. You know what I mean? Like, but I think as like a news anchor type person, I think that he does a really good job.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And he's fair. Mm-hmm. I mean, he gives everybody their chance. But if they start lying, look out.
You're going to call him on it, right?
Oh, right off the bat. He doesn't...
The no spin zone. That's what he had.
The no spin zone.
Don, if you had to start all over again, and you have to start over in a career, and what would your dream job be?
Oh boy!
Now there's the Don has had the run of the mill of jobs, like pretty much his whole life.
So I've done a whole bunch of things. I really don't know. I don't know as I'd change anything, really. Because, like I said, like... Lord, I've run a tavern. I've run a restaurant. I've been a truck driver. A home builder. A cabinet maker.
Wow.
A milkman.
So out of all those, what was one of your favorites?
Yeah, which one did you enjoy the most?
You know, I really enjoyed running the bar.
Did you?
Except for the fact of hauling all the drugs.
Other than that, it was fun, right?
Yeah, it was. It was.
And we're talking about the Almont Tap. So
yeah,
those of you that are listening, if you're familiar with that,
about 12:30. And right now, if we were to go to the Almont Tap, Joel Kaczynski would be sitting there drinking a Pepsi.
And they would know his order.
Yeah, that,
he goes there all the time.
That fun in the cornfield thing that my wife is one came up with that.
Yeah.
And the big hamburgers. She's the one that started that, too.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Man, we should go to Almont for lunch.
Nah, you're making me hungry. Don, if you could meet anyone, alive, dead, fictional, and have a meal with them, who would you want to meet, and what would you eat with them?
Oh, Lord. What a question. Patton.
General Patton.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's a good answer.
That is. We haven't had that answer. So why? What intrigued you about him?
Oh, he didn't take any you-know-what from anybody.
Right.
I honestly believe if they'd left him alone and made him the commander instead of Eisenhower,
sure,
the war would have ended a year and a half sooner.
No kidding.
Oh, yes. There would not have been the big Russian deal.
Sure.
Because Patton hated the Russians.
Yeah.
He would have squashed
well, that's
right
one of the
away.
Things
oh,
is
yeah.
they, a lot of people don't realize that the Russians totally got everywhere before we did. You know what I mean?
And yeah.
That's why.
And that's because Eisenhower let them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Patton Woodham would not have.
Sure.
Well, now, and this, I might be, I know, I might be not right here, but I believe that Auschwitz was liberated by the Soviets and not by the Americans. Americans liberated other concentration camps, but I believe that Auschwitz, which is one of the more famous ones,
yep.
the Russians didn't do a lot with it.
Right.
The Americans are the ones that actually went in and got the people out of there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
The Russians got there first, but
they didn't do anything.
I mean, as far as helping the people there.
Sure.
Really.
What would you want to eat with him? What do you like to eat? What's some of your favorite meal?
You know what? Food to me is just food. I probably the food that I like the best probably be a T-bone steak.
There we go.
I don't get it too often, but if it's cooked right, it's probably one of the best dishes.
Well, Don, thank you for your dedication to this program, and I know I probably speak on behalf of like 30 or 40 Eagle Scouts and countless other scouts that to say thank you, and countless other adults. I know my dad owes a lot to you.
Dad's a hard worker. He is.
One of the things that I know is that I get to see a lot of my old scout friends from time to time, and usually one of the first things is, have you talked to Don? You know, how's Don doing? And so I think that's a huge testament to the impact that you've had.
Absolutely.
So. Well, Don, thank you for being our 50th guest on this program. You know, I thought, when we were talking about who could be a guest for a 50th, I'm like, there's really only one person. Because how often does a scout get to go back and interview his scouting?
Right.
Well, Don, thank you
very
much.
Thank you so much, Don.
You're welcome.